todo el dinero procedente de la taquilla de Sol y Canto será enviado a la organización Partners in Health, que tienen un contingente enorme en Haití con su campaña llamada Stand with Haiti, en presencia con Haití. En este concierto de beneficio especial incluirá las siguientes personas: Nando Michelin, Jorge Coqui Pérez, Tim Meyer, Kaela Comel,
y una cantidad de otras personas,
Rosy y Brian. Perdón a todos ellos. El miércoles 27 de enero.
No, viste que no va a ser miércoles. Estás haciendo lo mismo que Jasmine. Sí, pero no es el miércoles, sino sábado, el 30.
Oh, my bad.
Está todo el mundo haciendo el mismo error. Perdón. Es que nadie entiende el letreo mío.
Es que si no hacemos esto, no acaba el show. Así es. Este domingo 30 de enero tendremos aquí en MIT una conferencia de la sección de Nueva Inglaterra contra la guerra. Será este sábado 30 de enero, perdón, sábado, no domingo, sábado, de 10:30 de la mañana a 6 de la tarde en el edificio 34-101 de MIT, 50 Buzzard Street, Cambridge, Massachusetts. Y para más información, por favor, vayan a New England United, newenglanunited.org.
Muy bien. Y eso son todas las noticias, yo creo. A no ser que tú tienes otro.
Tengo uno pequeñito aquí.
Ah, sí, mira, el misterioso del miércoles 27 sí reapareció, ¿ah? Okay, the mysterious Wednesday the 27th, we're now going to find out what is happening on that day. I know you're all sitting on the edge of your seats. I'm sitting on the edge of my seat, really. Actually, I've fallen off my seat now. At any rate, on Wednesday the 27th, before we leave you, we want to tell you that there will be a free immigration advice workshop.
Perdón, no, es una corrección. I'm sorry, there's a correction here. This is a free immigration advice at City Hall in Boston. There are several dates, January 6th and 20th, February 3rd and 17th, March 3rd and 17th, and so on and so forth. It's at room 804 in Boston City Hall from 12 noon to 2 p.m. For more information, please call the mayor's office on New Bostonian in Boston City Hall.
Y estas fechas otra vez ya pasaron algunos, pero van a tenerlo dos veces por mes, empezando en febrero, el 3 de febrero, el 17 de febrero, y luego el 3 de marzo, el 17 de marzo, y así por adelante. Y vamos a continuar dándole informaciones acerca de eso en los próximos shows. Okay.
Thanks
for listening
to Stereo.
I think that's the end, my boys and girls.
Almas e mentes, desejos íntimos de execuções sumárias, admiração a justiceiros genocidas, preenche o interior vazio da consciência.
say marhaban? Because I meant to say marhaban. I am a Dr. Jalas Sakran, and I welcome you. I'm here with Professor Levine, who is a mystic Jewish professor.
Yes, it's again my deep and somewhat oblong pleasure to be with you and to be with all our listeners today.
It is witness that is so wonderful.
Witness and onness and underness. And really, I really find deep pleasure in all the prepositions of the English language.
And witness, especially.
Witness and beingness and withoutness is probably not quite as good as withinness.
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 Which is closely related to witness. There is a concept that is famous in Australia, which is...
The boomerang.
Yes. Also, it is referred to there as matehood. It's related but distinct from what we have here, which is friendship. There they have matehood.
Is it similar to brotherhood, which you have in France,
I
believe?
Less than brotherhood, okay. But more than friendship.
Huh.
But it's all about witness. We also have with us today Flor de Baiero, who is a specialist in Espiritismo.
Espiritismo, yes.
Welcome, Flor.
Thank you. It is a pleasure to be here.
So, Flor, where are you from?
Well, I'm from São Paulo, Brazil. And as you may know, the Espiritismo movement is actually very strong in São Paulo and actually all throughout Brazil. Not so much here in the United States because, there's a lot of other things going on.
I've been made to understand that Harry Houdini, the famous escape artist and magician of the early 20th century in America, was in fact a follower and a subscriber of Spiritismo.
Allan Kardec, that's exactly right.
And I think he's most famous for being shackled with iron chains and being thrown into rivers. And of course he used his great flexibility and strength to escape, but he also used some sort of deep spiritual powers.
This is very true, and not a lot of people know that he was a very advanced student of Allan Kardec, and he studied a lot of important teachings.
Yeah, it's always unfortunate that modern-day practitioners of the illusions and magic tend to just use stagecraft and tricks, whereas the old masters really used deep spiritual powers as well.
This is because a lot of this knowledge has been lost. It has been lost today. There's not that many people who really know how to get in touch with that those inner vibrações, is what we would say in Portuguese, the vibrations.
Mm. It's really great because this show, as our listeners know, is really all about vibrations, like really vibrations and joining within our vibrations with each other and joining into the circle of vibrations is really the theme of this radio show.
Yes, that's why I'm very happy to be here with you. Thank you.
Well, it's so wonderful to have you also, Flor. Yeah, vibrations is such a great theme because so much of life in general is vibrations. So heat is vibrations, and light is related also to vibrations.
Yes, I know when I do my laundry and I put the dryer on or the washing machine, I like to sit on it a little bit and to really experience those mechanical vibrations, because I feel that when you have those mechanical vibrations reverberating through your body, it releases spiritual vibrations as well.
And also, when you are in tune with the vibrations of your washing machine, you will have a better clean clothes when you are done.
Hmm. Definitely. And there are also many illnesses, skin illnesses, very many situations which are related to vibration. I remember a child in my youth who was, he suffered from extreme back pain. And when the shelling began later, it really hurt him particularly because of the vibration. And for the rest of us, it was a period of calm and reflection. But for him, simply pain because of the vibrations. So there can be, you know, many people, they tell me that vibrations are evil. But to me, it depends on the vibrations.
Right, and I think one of the few things that science has really taught us is that every structure and being has something called a resonant frequency, and this is sort of its internal frequency of spiritual vibrations. And if some other frequency of vibrations joins with that, it will augment it, and it can actually cause the thing itself to sort of explode. So some of the practitioners of the dark arts in the Middle Ages, I know, would use a pair of cymbals, and if they would clap them at certain vibrations, which they knew would cause the body of their enemies to merely explode into thousands of shards of glass and bone and flesh and blood.
It seems like being absolutely one with something, with a vibration, can be painful. It can be that you are so intensely feeling a feeling that you can simply shatter. So, I mean, we're all, you know, I should make it clear, we're not only talking about physical vibrations, wigglings and jigglings, but also about spiritual vibrations.
Well, of course, and death itself is a kind of release from our sense of personal identity, where we sort of, our body loses its boundaries with the world, and we sort of become one, we merge with the unity of the world. And this can be a painful process, but eventually it's the true goal and aim of all existence, is to merge together.
I think it's one of the reasons that it's so important to detach yourself periodically from yourself and to experiment with vibrating at other frequencies and in other places, because it can bring a whole spectrum of pain and pleasure which should be experienced. And then death itself, which so many of us fear, becomes like a final vibration, an adventure which must be undertaken.
This, I think, is actually why some of the greater composers of the more recent musical traditions have had such success with the 12-tone.
Like John Lennon.
The 12-tone music. I was thinking of what is his name?
Eric Clapton, maybe.
Schoenberge.
Schoenberge. Yeah.
Schoenberge. He did this experimentation with the vibrations of a different order in the music, and this way he was, I think, connecting with these vibrations that we always have around us, but we don't know necessarily how we are going to connect with them.
Well, are there any sort of techniques that we can learn from spiritismo to use to connect with other people's vibrations? Let's say we have someone that we are attached to, but they don't know about us, and we'd like to get their attention and join their vibrations. What kind of techniques would we use?
Well, the very first thing that is very important is that you must be grounded all of the time. When you are most sincerely contemplating this person that you are interested in connecting with. When you are most sincere, that's when you are going to have this best connection, because your vibration will tune to the same vibration that they tune to.
Well, I found in my own life that when I've approached a stranger whom I've maybe been admiring from a distance or maybe following as she walks through her daily life for many days, and I approach her suddenly and I profess my deep love and desire to marry her, She usually would not react very well, and she would often get very upset and call the authorities.
Well, I think that I have experienced some success in this sort of approach, but it's critical that the vibrations are felt, whether it is a physical thing or sort of, it can be thought of as a mechanism of heat transfer. So analogous to this, we have conduction and induction, like convection and radiation.
And confection.
Confection also.
Ah, donuts.
But in this case, you are experimenting with radiation through the air, which is an insular medium. So it is critical that a lot of contact is made and that it is manifest that there is some resonance.
So I should start with the physical contact before the verbal contact.
Well, I think radiation is important because, once again, if you encounter someone and there is a sort of misalignment, then the contact can be painful, which is not a desirable experience generally.
Yeah, those vibrations can clash a little bit.
And it can be really jagged and square.
Yeah, I don't know if any of our listeners have experience in the art of lovemaking, but I find that often you'll find this great variation in the quality of the lovemaking depending on the vibrations of the two people. Like, you could have really good vibrations that go together, that augment each other, and that leads to this great experience of pleasure and mystical union. But sometimes those vibrations just clash, and you do it just because you're bored. And afterwards you think, why did I do that? I don't want to do that again.
This is why it is so important to be spiritually on the same page, as they say, when you start. Or you have these jagged points, like the doctor was saying. The jagged points, they are unpleasant. And if you can take the time first to be in tune with one another, that is when you will really have a truly spiritual experience in the bed or on the couch or wherever
kitchen table.
Is that you're going to do it, in the closet. That is your desire.
I wonder if any of our listeners have any insight in using personal vibrations to attract a lover, to sort of extend the envelope of our personal vibrations onto those which we are interested in, and to get those kind of mutual vibrations flowing back and forth.
We're also talking a lot about mating, and I think this is from the earlier mention of matehood, which is unrelated. But correct vibrations and the right energies also are present everywhere. It is not only in the bedroom, but also in the workplace, and while one is riding public transport or after one has fallen on a frozen lake and is staring at the heavens and waiting for assistance. All of these times are periods when being in the right mode of energies, vibrating correctly, and simply finding oneness with the universe is so helpful.
I find that dancing can often lead to this kind of appropriate vibrational attitude towards the universe, that if one has a really good dancing session one night with good music, then it can really carry over for the weeks to come. They can just have these flashbacks to this great dancing vibrations.
Let's throw in the call number in case anyone would like to join us. The number is 617-253-8810. Marhaban, caller.
Hello.
Welcome, caller.
Thank Thank you. I've been listening almost every single week, and this subject of getting vibrations is very interesting because every time I hear the doctor speak, I have vibrations.
And we feel your vibrations, and it's so wonderful to, especially when you call in, it's a very intense feeling.
Oh, that's very nice. But I really do. I like your voice very much, and I wonder where your accent comes from.
Where my accent?
Yes.
Well, so I was born and raised in the Hijaz region, which is in what is now Saudi.
But
I was educated variously in Cairo and in Europe.
Well, you have a lovely voice, and I like listening, and I listen every week, and I probably won't stay on the phone very long tonight, but it's always enjoyable.
Well, caller, we love to hear your voice also.
Yeah, I think I've commented in the past that this particular caller's voice reminds me of the Annie Hall character.
That's
in the
funny.
Great Woody Allen movie.
Yeah, well,
this caller, she has a color that I feel when I hear her voice. It feels like a sort of a rosy color, like the color of the rose.
Oh, that's lovely.
And colors, of course, also are vibrations. It's all about the speed of the vibration, which corresponds to which organ we feel the vibration with. And my favorite vibrations are the ones that cannot be felt with any organ, that they are simply absorbed. You know somewhere that you are absorbing the energy that is being emitted.
I think the bass vibrations tend to really reverberate through, starting at maybe the bowels.
It's an excellent example.
And moving up to the throat.
But you see, immediately we are speaking of parts of the body, and we are speaking of tactile feedback. Mm. But I'm referring to vibrations of frequency which is outside of the realm of our sensation.
The frequencies that are even higher than that, right?
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Or
spiritual sponge.
Simply reclining, and it is as though one would be completely unable to stop vibrating, you know, that were we to stop or to try to control the vibrations that were being thrown or cast upon us, we would fail and we might even perish. But if one simply relaxes and absorbs what is given, one can really enjoy this resonance.
That's nice. Doctor, have you ever read Rumi?
Rumi, yes.
Yes, all good. I'm reading Rumi.
Oh, would you perhaps like to recite your favorite Rumi poem for us?
Oh, I can't recite a whole one, but I do love the one about the cat and the meat.
The cat and the meat. I'm not sure I'm familiar.
About a man who brings home some very expensive meat for a guest for dinner, and his wife makes kebabs out of it and eats it, and with wine. And when he comes home with the guest, there's no meat, and she tells him the cat ate it. And so he orders the scales to be brought, and he weighs the cat, who weighs in at 3 pounds. And this is a long story. And the meat weighed 3 pounds and 1 ounce. So he says, this is either the cat or this is... I can't remember how
so
it
the,
goes.
So the entire cat has now become the meat.
You can see the problem.
The cat and the meat are one. They are together.
They're one, that's it.
They are vibrating together. That is what is going on there.
Well, I wonder, caller, if you are familiar with, since you appreciate the humorous aspect of this particular tale, if you are familiar with Maulana Nasruddin.
No, I'm not.
Nasruddin is a character in many of our fables. I wonder what he's like. He's like Mr. Magoo. But he's always, you know, there was a period of time when he is a religious scholar, or when he is a judge, a hakim.
We have the same character. In Brazil, we have João Bobo.
Mm.
He is a fool, a foolish man, but he always manages to get something the way that he wants it, because he is not so foolish after all in the end.
Well, Nasr al-Din, I think, so he corresponds to a historical figure who was a religious scholar. But Nasr al-Din in all of the stories is known for having a very unique view of the world. So the story about the cat that the caller mentions makes me think of a story where Nasr al-Din, for instance, he is invited to a very, very fancy party, and he goes very early, dressed as he dresses habitually at the home. So he doesn't bathe or shave or otherwise prepare. And of course, he's immediately thrown out and refused entry. So he retires to his home, where he is dressed by his servants and perfumed and oiled and readied. And then he returns somewhat late, so fashionably late. And he enters with great fanfare, and everyone recognizes him. And the food is brought before him. And so he begins to pour it all over his clothes, saying, "Clearly it was you that were invited, so please eat of the, you know, of the feast that you were invited for." So the stories are always in this style.
I do remember a story that I read about. I know it involved adultery and his wife.
With Nasr al-Din.
Yeah, I think you may have mentioned it to me once before.
There was a person named adultery.
No, the act of adultery. So I believe something about why he's in someone's house. And
The particular story is like this. Nasr al-Din is in the tea house, and a man steps in and announces, "I have discovered the philosophy by which all questions may be answered." And Nasr al-Din says, "And only yesterday I was asked a question that is unanswerable." And the man says, "Had I been there, I would have been able to answer the question." And Nasr al-Din says, "The question was this: what are you doing in my house in the middle of the night?"
Oh.
And so, you know, Nasr al-Din here, of course, is bringing back bringing the man down from his philosophical perch, mm-hmm. and reminding him that we are human.
Mm-hmm.
And Nasr al-Din apparently is a thief, or somehow has found his way into someone's house.
Oh, but it could have been, though. It could have been an astral projection.
Precisely. It could have
that
been.
That is also a possibility.
So a sort of apparition that Nasr al-Din had cast out. He was not known for apparitions.
But that could be why it was difficult for him to answer the question.
To
because
explain.
It was difficult to explain. There are not many people who understand the ways in which you can go about doing that.
Mm.
I think it's interesting the part about when he poured food all over himself at the party. It's sort of saying that it wasn't he that was invited; it was his clothing, something like that. I will look for him at the library and find out about him. Thank you for telling me about it. I'll say good night now.
Well, thank you, caller, so much for being with us.
Thank you. Good night.
Good night. And I, too, I'm afraid I will have to leave you, all my people here.
Well, thank you. Thank you for vibrating with us tonight, Flor.
It has been a joy to be able to help you. I have a mesa branca that I have to go to lead. So I will have to leave here, but we will connect with you in the vibrating sense.
Excellent. Thank you, Flor.
Thank you so much, Doctor.
And if any of our listeners would like to vibrate with us through electronic media, please call in. Our number is 617-253-8810. Vibrations.
Yes, and I think I was mentioning before that this act of dancing, and it could be ritualistic dancing to the beat of drums, or dancing to some good old funky music, can really lead to this strong sense of vibrations for the weeks to come and these flashbacks.
That you might sympathetically vibrate and continue to vibrate for a great amount of time.
Exactly.
Well, let's vibrate with another caller now. Marhaban caller, welcome to the vibration.
Thank you. Welcome to you.
So caller, can you tell us how you are vibrating this evening?
I'm vibrating at a pretty low frequency.
And
I'm strung out right now, so I'm just trying not to stay away from the bright lights, you know.
And which organ are you feeling the vibration in most strongly?
I don't think I can really talk about that on the radio, but...
So you said that you're strung out. Is that from a particular plant substance or from some chemical substance?
Food?
Originally, yeah, I'm sure. I don't know how this stuff works. I mean, it's, you know, it's in a capsule. You smoke it with crack.
Now, of course, humans through the ages have been using various plants to sort of enhance their spiritual experiences and to widen the horizons of their psyche.
Yeah.
The Native Americans used the sage plant, Salvia divinorum, to achieve these kinds of visionary experiences where they can expand the sort of parameters and dimensions of their mind.
Mm-hmm.
And their body.
And they're alien.
And it's such an important thing for their culture, although I sincerely believe that by sampling vibrations, one can induce all sorts of mental explorations without any outside assistance. Mm-hmm. Or even, in fact, the absence of stimuli can help to permit the brain to experiment, to explore.
Right, and of course, various interrogators, I think in the Soviet Union, knew about this, and they knew that if you can deprive someone of all their sensory experience, then they will slowly begin to lose their sense of identity and personhood. And
I don't know how to do that.
Yeah, I don't know how to do that either, but...
Sounds very good.
I know the ancient Hindus also used, they had this plant called soma, and it was probably, no one knows exactly what it was, but it was probably some form of mushroom, which led to these sort of divine experiences of closeness to the divine beings.
And it is known because of the writings?
Yes, the Vedic writings,
literature.
The Rig Veda. Yeah, they talk a lot about the soma plant, and in fact, there's a god, or a goddess, rather, named after the soma plant.
Right.
You know what I was thinking about the other day?
Do tell us.
I was thinking about how much of our life's pleasures come from the sex organs of various plants and animals. There's marijuana, and there's fruit.
Well, I think
and there's other things.
I think flowers are also an excellent... example.
And mushrooms themselves are the flowering bud of this large network of fungal filaments that live underground. The mushrooms themselves are just the flower that comes out from them.
Mm-hmm. To emit spores.
To emit spores for mating purposes.
Mm-hmm. Once again, too, you know, we speak about mating, but that is distinct from matehood.
Right. Matehood is that Australian sentiment, which is so common among men.
It's very uniquely Australian.
Yes.
Also.
And my understanding is that it implies no amount of homosexual activity.
No, absolutely none.
Except if you're really drunk, but that's part of their culture too.
Well, I'm not really sure, but back to these substances, I mean, it's interesting how many cultures have legends or traditions of imbibing or otherwise consuming various substances in order to achieve divine states of closeness.
Well, we've always, as human beings, we've always wanted to break the bonds of our everyday normal experience. We have this thirst for something greater, this greater experience. We feel that our earthly life sometimes is just not all there is.
Absolutely.
You're not talking about Sprite.
Absolutely, but just the same, you know, I mean, we've spoken, there is a saying which is the act of praying, of bending one's knees, is distinct from imagining praying. And I think that's in play here, but I'm not sure why.
I'm not sure either.
I mean, is it not believable that one could induce a state of closeness of these extra vibrations without the aid of, you know, Delphic vapors?
I think Timothy Leary's take on this whole thing was that meditation is one way to get there, and it's a lot slower and it's a lot safer, and then taking acid is pretty much like, you know, going full into the rabbit hole and just ending up wherever you happen to jump in. And, you know, it's not safe, but you get the full experience all at once, as opposed to having to wait years upon years to get there.
So, now, of course, in the state of Massachusetts and the United States, most of these substances are banned by law.
Yeah.
But I believe that the Salvia divinorum plant is actually perfectly legal in most states of the United States, including Massachusetts.
Yeah, it's slowly, state by state, it's becoming illegal.
Well, I think what the caller is mentioning, of course, is that it's illegal because of the high potential for abuse.
There are a lot of dummies on YouTube putting up pictures of them, you know, staring at their cat for 10 minutes straight and then laughing goofily about it.
Well, I've heard one of the possible outcomes of using the sage plant is that one can start to identify with inanimate objects.
Yeah, man.
It's a matter of vibration, again, I think.
Right.
So that the idea being that life occurs at a very slow rate if you are an electron, but at a very quick rate if you are a mountain. And if you can slow your vibration down sufficiently, perhaps you can hear the noble truths that are emitted by the stone as it withers and shatters into dust.
Or you can even feel what it's like to be a stone. You can experience the stone psyche. Now, I've heard one particular user of this sage plant had the strong feeling and experience of being one with the carpet of their room, that they had this feeling that they were the carpet and that they must descend to the ground and flatten themselves as much as possible to feel the experience of being the carpet.
Wow.
See, now, the fear that I would have is that, you know, we're all familiar with Wolf's Law and Simon's Law, which ultimately they're about bone and muscle, but the key is that if a particular body part is used, it becomes stronger, and if it is not used, then it atrophies. And the consequence here for bone, of course, it implies that bone which is in a cast will wither, and for a muscle there is a balance between the muscle which pulls and the one which pushes. But for the brain, there is a fear that, you know, I don't practice long division since I'm a child, and this ability is lost. And the fear, of course, is that are we meditating sufficiently? Are we having these experiences sufficiently? Because if we are not, we may, over time, lose the capacity to be spiritual beings.
And that's why you have to do salvia, you know, every month, every couple of weeks, so that you remember what that's like. Because otherwise, you know, that part of your brain just, you know, scars over.
Well, I'm not sure that's really the answer. I think that we have to focus on these experiences and try to remember being a child and the various open feelings that we had about the world around us.
But I also think that besides opening ourselves up to spiritual experiences, sometimes we also have to open up ourselves to experiencing raw animal experiences that sort of often in our rushed everyday life we get so consumed by the routine that we forget what it's like to really be what we are at one part of our identity, which is animals.
No, I agree. I mean, there have been moments in my own life where I have looked upon the ocean or the sky and thought to myself, I will never be in this place again. And sometimes I have returned. But the lesson of that life, of that thought, is that I was there.
But I'm talking about the full shutting down of the cerebral cortex and higher brain functions for some period of time. I think this can actually be induced through some forms of meditation.
Were you referring to rational thought? Because, I mean, there is also an entire limbic system which is wedded and very much has developed evolutionarily with the cortex. But we don't think about our emotional system as being particularly advanced.
Right, I think I'm talking about pure limbic experience now, actually, so that we don't have that sort of higher level executive planning voice going on in our head saying, oh, I should be doing this or that, but rather a core emotional experience of doing and being, which can involve very basic functions such as eating and lovemaking. Or it could involve walking and running, which are also sort of core limbic experiences.
Or climbing.
But no thinking about, what should I be doing right now? What should I be doing tomorrow? What did I do yesterday?
Yeah, I think what I object to is the term higher. Because all I'm saying
is higher up in the brain.
It is not. The limbic system, it is, they are wedded. The frontal cortex and the limbic system are really adjacent. And I think we associate the frontal cortex, these lobes, with our development. But there are animals which have a cortex which is as large as ours. But without the limbic system, they are not reasoning beings. They are not advanced.
You know, birds have an entire cerebral cortex, but it's made out of a basal ganglia.
And basal ganglia, I've heard, tastes very much like regular basil, but with a slightly sweeter taste.
I mean, it's more like a sweet bread, definitely.
I associate the flavor more with ganglia, except slightly saltier.
Right.
It's slimy unless you cook it for a long time. It's just a mess.
And poisonous, I believe.
There's a lot of
parasites.
A lot of, yeah. I mean, basil is a cousin of nightshade, I think. So you gotta wait till it's really ripe. Even then, you could die.
Well, speaking of the animal kingdom, I was watching this documentary produced by the British Broadcasting Corporation the other day called Planet Earth, and there was a segment on these frogs that dwell in the jungle, and this is going back to our discussion of mating and vibrations, because it was really a striking illustration of mating behavior, where the male frogs will position themselves along a tree, and the stronger the frog is and the bigger it is, the higher up in the tree it will rain, and it will emit a very powerful gulping noise with its throat, maybe like a noise. Let me see if we can simulate that effect. No, we don't have a sound effect for the frog. But anyway, the females then will attempt to climb up the tree, and their goal will be to reach the highest male, which will be the biggest one, and to mate with him. And the smaller males will be sort of in the middle, and their goal will be to ambush the female on her way up. And so it'll be this kind of game of cat and mouse, where she's climbing up the tree, trying to find the highest male, and the smaller males are trying to intercept her. And it's this kind of crazy free-for-all, first-come, first-served mating situation.
That sounds great.
Where often they'll be fighting, like there'll be a single female and two males on top of her, and they'll be trying to push each other off to have full access to the mating opportunity.
Not to drag. I like the other version a lot better. Definitely. I mean, one thing that I try to do is when I go out to the bars, I just try to be taller than everyone else, and I work on my pecs a lot, so I push through that a lot, and I sometimes just, brush past people so they can feel how hard they are.
What have you tried using stilts?
I wear clogs a lot.
Well, clogs will only get you so far, maybe 3 inches, 4 inches, but stilts can give you extra 5 feet of height.
Well, see, the only stilts that I found that are good are, my friend just got some new fake legs. He lost his legs in a car accident. So I just kind of sawed off the bottom, from the ankle down, and kind of step on the top of the ankle, and then put the foot into the shoe. And it looks pretty real. It just looks like I have like a big foot tumor growing out of my ankle. But that's good. But the other stilts, they look way too much like an ostrich. And as everyone knows, in the ostrich kingdom, the smallest ostriches get the most ostrich vagina. So that's going the other direction from what I'm trying to do.
Well, caller, I might also consider recommending a friend of mine had a set of elbow talons installed, which I think would be useful in your situation.
Now, what are those exactly?
Elbow talons, which are like claws that are at the elbow.
Okay.
So then when the arm is bent, the talons are extended.
Okay, but so to rip apart the bra or something?
No, more like you are in the crowded situation and people are throwing elbows and you throw out a talon.
And you just grab their organ.
And you just poke someone gently and they begin to bleed.
And then you got a kidney, you got money, you got girls.
Precisely. Yeah, well,
it's a way of
collecting leather.
It's a way of elbowing out the competition, I think, is the main point.
Which I think there is a pun.
It gives you a sort of advantage when it comes to these vibrations. It's very hard to send out the right mating vibrations when you have a gash in your stomach and your intestines are trickling out.
Yeah. And I have been drinking probably too much urine, so I might need another kidney sometime. I don't know, can you just put those in? Do they just figure out where they need to be? I don't know.
I think that's one of those things that is
a
surgical,
major.
Surgical procedure.
Yeah, I have a friend who might be able to hook that up, so I can get in contact. But now, one of the other things I have is I just have like hair gel that's made from like kind of slugs, and the slugs are apparently I don't know this for a fact, but the other day I saw some slugs banging on my fence and they were going at it, and there was more fluids and slime than I've ever seen in my life, and I was like, that slug has got it going on. So I put it in a jar, just left it for a while, and the consistency is not great. Like, your hair, it kind of gets brown after a while, but I find it probably works.
Well, caller, are you gray?
No, I'm more kind of like a sandy white. I don't like to say gray, I don't like the color.
Well, perhaps you've gone silver.
Thank you. No, I've gone sandy white.
Well, because the reason that I ask about your hair is that I've heard of, and if only Floor were still here, she could comment, that in some parts of South America that people are known for using these slug liquids to cure baldness and also hair graying. So it really diminishes the effects of aging on the scalp and hair.
Yeah, it's like in that, did you ever see Ace Ventura, Pet Detective?
No.
Okay, there's this really funny scene where he's like doing surveillance on someone, and he's in like a fake mechanical rhino, and he's trying to climb out of it, and he takes off all his clothes, it's really hot in there, and then he just comes out of the rhino's rubbery butt, just like bit by bit, just coming out, and all these people are around there just like, ah, and they run away, and then he just comes out of the rhino butt and he's naked. So funny. Definitely top 10. top 10.
I mean, I've often wondered about these mechanical rhinoceroses that people employ, and where exactly can you acquire one of these?
I think you gotta build your own.
Build your own.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's amazing how much the technology for building, you know, there was a time when it was valued, when, you know, every community across the country, people were respected for their ability to measure, to cut, to construct, to glue, and all of this has gone. The community shop has disappeared. So if you want this rubber rhinoceros, I think you need to go to a specialist, and it's really a challenge. But yeah, if you had been alive, as I was, you know, 40 or 50 years ago, it would have been possible to request a young gentleman to construct this for you.
Mm. You know, I know. I have a friend who might be able to do it for you if you want. He's a bio major, so...
He's able to do these sorts of constructions?
Yeah, I mean, he's pretty smart.
Well, I have heard that certain genetic scientists have recently reconstructed the DNA, which is, for those of you who aren't familiar with science, that's the sort of code which determines how our body is produced. So they've reconstructed the DNA sequence of the Neanderthals. Oh. The Neanderthals, of course, were sort of a pre-hominid being, some sort of caveman. And it's not known whether these cavemen spoke to each other or what exactly their social circumstances were, and it's really the idea of actually breathing life again into the Neanderthal species is really a fascinating idea. And I think as humans we kind of owe it to them, because the most common theory for how Neanderthals ceased to exist was actually that they were killed through an act of species-wide genocide by human beings.
Mm-hmm. Or just outcompeted.
To the point where
they ate all their carrots.
Well, it's also believed by some that, it's known that Neanderthals, for example, had red hair. And it's believed by some that red-headed human beings are actually descendants of a kind of half-breed of Neanderthal and human mating.
Which they're definitely weird.
It's possible.
Gross freckles.
My favorite theory on the disappearance of the Neanderthal is that another organism was required for their mating, which was unusual, but not unheard of. So there was a symbiosis between the two species, and that this species was consumed entirely by Cro-Magnon.
Like some sort of a vegetable fleshlight.
Precisely, somehow that it facilitated their reproduction.
Like a cucumber.
Yeah, and just a really big one, lots of warts.
Yeah, I'm not really sure what the precise nature. I mean, one may assume, for instance, that Neanderthal had no requirement for thumbs because there was another organism like a leech, for example, that would attach to a sort of slot
on the hand.
Precisely, and then there was opposable thumb. And over time, the slug was eradicated by Cro-Magnon because the slug would attach itself all over Cro-Magnon. So it would be like a body of thumbs. You know, it's a theory.
Yeah, like Davy Jones from Pirates of the Caribbean 2. World's End.
Unfortunately, there are all these cultural references.
What was the last moving picture that you saw, Dr. Jalas? I think did you watch the Charlie Chaplin movies when they came out?
I did watch the Chaplin films.
Even past the silent era.
Past the silent
era. The talkies.
There was a film, I think it's been so long. There was a film with, it may have been Superman 1. Which I remember when that was.
Christopher Reeves.
No, there was, who was the evil one?
Late 20s.
The evil one?
Lex Luthor.
It was in the 70s.
The '70s, yeah.
Now, who was Hackman? Gene Hackman. He had another film later in the '70s. I think 1978, and I can't remember the title. But that may have been the last film that I saw in the theater.
Is Gene Hackman still alive? Because I often wonder what happens. We you know, there are these actors which are very popular and big, and then you just. They stop appearing in movies.
Well, and he's just a hack, man.
I always wondered if his baldness was real or simulated. You know, Hollywood is so excellent at fooling a person.
Well, I've heard that one can actually simulate baldness relatively easily through plucking of the head hair with tweezers, or with even waxing of the head hair.
Yeah, weed whacking. No, I mean, I've, you know, I used to work at a wig factory, and part of my job was going around taking surveys of the random baldness levels of random people, and I'm pretty good at spotting the fakers, fake balders.
Well,
F-beards, and he's definitely a real...
What caller?
RLB.
It's been so wonderful having you with us and vibrating with you.
I took up so much of your time. I'm sorry.
No, it is entirely our pleasure to be
taking I'll buy one of your t-shirts.
Excellent. Thank you, caller. And thanks, of course, to Floor, who was here earlier, and to our host, Professor Levine.
Thank you very much.
Professor, thank you. I am a Dr. Jalis Sakran here on Music for Human, which is New Age Talk Radio with an emphasis on you. We are on every Friday at 7 p.m. here on WMBR 88.1 FM in Cambridge. Stay tuned for Massachusetts Bay and Response. Ma'a salama.
Safety.
Number one.
Cars and bikes stop at red lights.
It's against the law for car drivers or bicycle riders to ignore traffic signals.
So don't buzz through red lights. There might be a pedestrian or turning car that doesn't see you coming.
Number two.
Look first before you open your door.
Numerous bicyclists have been injured or even killed by car doors suddenly opening into them.
Look first, and bicyclists, stay out of the door zone.
Number three.
Cross with the signal.
You are safest if you wait for a walk or green traffic signal.
Don't jaywalk. That's just walking into trouble.
Number four.
Cars and bikes should stop for pedestrians in unsignalized crosswalks.
Be nice. Be legal. Be safe.
Brought to you as a public service by the Cambridge Bicycle Committee and this station.
Massachusetts Bay in Response with the final reading from Italo Calvino's Marco Valdo. We're starting off this week where we left off last in autumn.